up, guys, and welcome to episode one, season one, I should say, episode one of the relaunched Mewhorn Gaming Podcast. What up, guys? If you're listening to us for the first time, I appreciate you being here. If you've listened to us from way back in the day, like I'm talking like years and years ago, right? I appreciate you guys staying, subscribed to our podcast channel and things like that. We went from the Mewhorn Gaming Podcast to the Analog Assault Podcast, and then we had to take a break. Yes, Thaddeus in chat says since 2016. Yeah, 2016. There we go. Can I talk? I forgot how to podcast. We've been podcasting for a very, very long time. So you guys that are, retuning in, I appreciate all you guys. I appreciate all the reviews you've left us over the years. It's been a really fun ride, and I've just missed it, man. And, for you guys that are tuning in for the first time, here's kind of what we do is we live stream these things. We live stream them. We live stream on twitch.tv/Mewhorn Gaming. It's kind of almost like a fireside chat, where we interact with the guys in the chat that are watching the show. We interact with some of the questions that are asked in the show. That's kind of what we like. We like to be very community focused. We like to, chat with the people who are watching the stream. We like to answer questions that people, post to our Twitter and our Discord and all that stuff. So we're going to be doing this again. We're going to be launching up the podcast again. Hopefully we can eventually get T Prime back on the podcast with us. I know he's mentioned that he would be up for it, that he would want to jump in and watch the podcast again and jump in and host the podcast with me again. So hopefully we can get T Prime back in on this at some point and get this set up to where we can have a few of us OG hosts together. But kind of, we took a break for, what was it, like 2 years. We really didn't have any podcasts for the last 2 years. Part of that is just, life. Life, sometimes, we were all dads or moms or fixing to be moms at that point. And everyone has all their other schedules and things like that. So it becomes really difficult for anybody that's ever ran a podcast. It can become very difficult just to line up multiple people's schedules, especially if you have four or five people that are podcast hosts. It gets very difficult unless you're doing it like as a full-time job, right? So it can get a little difficult for you sometimes, as I shouldn't be drinking this, but I'm sipping on some coffee right here. But yes, the podcast was there for a really long time. So we're bringing it back. Hopefully, like I said, we'll get T Prime back. How are we going to be doing this every week? Are we going to do it bi-weekly? I don't know. I don't have the answer for you there. I really just, I don't know yet. So the best thing I can tell you, if you like the podcast, you like the podcast we've done in the past and you want to hear more, just jump in our Discord, tweet at us, jump on our streams, and just let us know that you want us to be podcasting more. And, hopefully we can make this a regular cadence thing and we can kind of do this thing. We love large explosions. We love hanging out with the community. That's kind of what the podcast is going to be about. It's going to be a little more laid back than previously, not as scripted. Like our last podcast were very, very, very scripted just because they kind of had to be. But I kind of want this more laid back. Kind of more like evergreen podcast rather than talking about the brand new bright and shiny. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about that eventually in some of these podcasts, but I really want it just to be a time to hang out with the community, to talk about stuff, to get stuff off my head. Cause I love to talk. If you guys haven't noticed, I love to talk. And Paul Diddy, in chat says, just do it. Make your dreams come true. Yes. That's like the OG saying we used to do. Just do it. Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yeah. But hopefully we'll get this thing back up and rolling again and really just maybe even bring in some guests from time to time, things like that. I've done other podcasts as well, like the Halo Infinite podcast, the Servant mentioned in the chat, the Bendu podcast. But like, man, I think my heart and soul just really goes to a podcast about the people and with the people, for the people, if you will. I just like hanging out with community and getting to know people. And that's originally how our podcast started, like back in the day. For some of you guys don't know how this started. When Thaddeus Prime and I started this podcast, back in the day, I had no microphone. All I had was an Xbox 360 Rock Band mic. a really old laptop, and my Xbox 360 box that I would put my microphone in that box and like use it to record our podcast. And as Paul Diddy said in chat, yes, I did have hair. Mule had hair. But that's literally how we used to record it before we had all the fancy setups, before we had everything. You know, now if you're watching this live or if you're watching this on Spotify where you can watch the video, you'll see we have a really nice setup now. We have a whole like studio for this. But yeah, it's going to be a very community focused podcast. It's going to be kind of just talking about life, talking about gaming, talking about whatever's kind of suiting our fancy in the gaming world and how it relates to our lives and things like that. So I have a couple of topics on the slate tonight for the podcast. I really just wanted to talk about the state of gaming and just kind of talk about that with you guys. And also wanted to talk about the state of Star Wars, like, and where it's headed, what it can mean, things like that. So one of the things we used to do on these OG podcasts is we used to have a beverage of the night. So we're going to bring that back. So my beverage of the night is just a little old school coffee because I'm burning it out of both ends right now. Not that kind of way. And some water. That's basically it for me tonight. That's my beverage of the night. No cervezas or anything like that. And then Servant says in chat, Nate and I were talking about community focused podcasts earlier today. I think it's needed, man. I think it's really needed. But we used to have a beverage of the night. We would talk about if we have a fun beverage and talk about it a lot. I want to get back to those roots, you know, man, like just back to like hanging with the bros in the podcast and talking about those things. So, that kind of brings me to my first topic here, which is the state of gaming. I want to know some of you guys' thoughts as we kind of talk about this. So feel free to chat with me in the chat here. Take a little sip of my coffee there. But the state of gaming, I don't know. I was kind of thinking about this last few days. Gaming right now, it's like, it's not that it's bad, right? Gaming's not bad. Like, I'm still having like a ton of fun in gaming. I love gaming. Like, I'm still having a lot of fun in it. But it just feels like it's in a weird spot to me. And it's been like that since COVID, right? I think it's the normal status quo of what we were used to with game development, with how quickly games come out, crunch, all that stuff. I think it's kind of just changed the landscape of podcasting. Or excuse me, of video games. As you hear me periodically pause, it's because I'm downing coffee or water, you know. But yeah, it just feels odd. Gaming is always good and fun, but it feels like maybe it's the cadence that got thrown off for me and makes me just feel a little odd about it. But like this is the first time I've never owned the latest Xbox. Maybe I'm becoming a PC master race. I don't know. But this is the first time that I've actually never owned an Xbox. And I've loved playing on Xbox. Xbox was like the go-to thing. They are really innovating. You know, PlayStation just got it as well, where, you know, you can put your Discord into your, basically your chats with your bros and jump into a Discord and be in a party chat. But it just feels weird in the sense that I feel like games have gotten into a rut. Not that games are bad, but it just has gotten into a rut where there's only maybe a handful of really good games now. Like, it's like a lot of the games are just either remasters or remakes or just let's slap a new label on it and call it something new. And it's just the same thing, right? Like, there was a BR craze there for a while where everything was like a BR. Everything has to have a BR. Everything is a BR. Nothing wrong with BRs. But it just felt like, yeah, exactly, Paul Diddy, like Hollywood. That's what it felt like. It felt like there was just one little formula and script, and that's what they're going to follow. Servant says, gaming is in a great spot. We had a lot of great and fun games, but the 24/7 coverage of games as a service, everybody trying to stream consistently makes gaming seem bad right now. I would agree with that. I think that for sure has some cadence in that and some weight to it in that argument, because it just feels like it's almost like the what's happened with news, if you will, like TV news. like OG TV news, you would just watch it in the morning, right? If you were a dad or somebody getting up earlier, fixing it to work, you're getting ready for school, you'd wake up and the parents would have the news on just to see what the weather was like or if there was anything crazy going on in the world, if there was anything they needed to know about. Most of the news was localized, right? And then you had the nightly news where it was mostly localized news, maybe a few national headlines and things like that, but it was mostly about your local community. And then that was it. But now you have 24/7 like coverage of news, and it's like people are so like ESPN, for example, like 24/7 ESPN. It was like a game changer. And then it's just like, I feel like it's so inundated. I don't even watch ESPN anymore. I hardly watch ESPN. And I think it's just because there's just so much noise, like noise out there in the world that people are just like, man, seriously, just give me a breather here for a second. And I feel like that's kind of maybe what I'm feeling with gaming, is that there's just so much noise. There's so many games now, so many games being made, that some of them are just you know, and maybe it's always been that way and I'm just waking up to it. But some of them are just you know, and they're just not as good as they could have been. And there's just not any games that have just been knocking my socks off. Now, there are a few. I'll get to those in a little bit, but there are a few. Paul Diddy says in chat, a couple of aspects that could be touched on with the state of gaming, from companies rushing games out the door to Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard. Yeah, I actually kind of think that is a big issue that we have in gaming, is that you have a lot of, like, Microsoft, Blizzard, I mean, Blizzard's even owned by a different company right now. Like, it's owned by Activision or whatever. There's not a lot of competitiveness, right? And the ability for a smaller video game to kind of get out and make a big splash, it's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes you can have something go viral and then, like, your game just blows up. But games like, for example, Bros We Knew Back in the Day, Solar Purge, really fun game. That game could have took off and had some legs. But the problem is it's competing with all these other high-level studios that put up updates and things like that, like, constantly. And it just makes it really tough for these other games to compete. And you have some of these bright, shiny stars that pop up. Now, that's not to say, like I said, there's not to say that there isn't any games that are not good. I mean, some games that have recently really, like, blown my socks off. God of War Ragnarok. Dude, that game was amazing. Like, start to finish, it just felt amazing. Like, I was just like, wow, this is, like, possibly a game of the year for me. And then Hogwarts and all the mess that went with Hogwarts and all the backlash and people trying to cancel it and stuff like that. Jeez, I could probably talk about it. It'd be a whole podcast episode, actually, if I talk about that. But, like, Hogwarts, like, that game is amazing. Like, those developers, I think it's Avalanche, right? Avalanche, that was the developers for Hogwarts. Like, the amount of detail, the amount of care they had with the lore was just, like, insane how good they made that game. Just insane, like, walking through Hogwarts, seeing all the stuff that's going on, like, around in Hogwarts. Seeing all of that, man, it was just, like, it was just nuts to see how well they made that game and how good the storytelling was in that game. And it was like, it's a strong contender for me for one of the best games I've played this year. I mean, we still got a lot of good games to come out. And maybe that's the shift. Maybe that's the shift, is that, you know, I've always been a PvP guy for so long, right? That now we're shifting back to the RPG and the single player modes. And we're having a lot more of, like, those Skyrims and those Mass Effects and those Dragon Ages, like, coming back to where, you know, people will have the chance to really just sit down and, you know, sink their teeth into a game and play a game and kind of sit and stay a while. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm excited for Jedi Survivor that's coming out soon and all those things, but it's just, I don't know, gaming, this, it just, it's like, I don't know how to put my finger on it and describe it. It's not that it's bad, and it's not that it's in a bad position. It just feels a little odd to me. Servant says, look at Halo Infinite, the best feeling in playing Halo game, but streamers and stream watchers demand new content all the time until the game is dead. Yeah, I mean, Halo Infinite's a good example of a game that came out that could have been more than it should. Like, it should have been more than what it was when it came out, right? It was a really fun game. Probably the best mechanics in a game for Halo that we've ever had. What a really good single player story. Like, I love the story in that game. But again, I think it's because we've become so accustomed to these large studios that are backed by, you know, and it's funny because 343 is actually backed by Microsoft, but like studios that are backed by these big developers or big studios or big companies that can push out updates a lot. And so you have someone like Halo Infinite that's backed by Microsoft, and people are kind of expecting like that Fortnite level of updates, right? That Fortnite, Apex, God of War, like level of updates. And we just weren't getting it. And so people just left the game because there's so much competition now. Nate, good to see you in chat, man. Let's see what this thingy-majigger is right here. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Post that rush of launch of games. We have the new norm. Delay a game multiple times while it sucks, but it feels better to launch a better product than to fix it over time. Remember Cyberpunk 2077, rough launch, but stellar after a couple of big updates. Yeah, I mean, I could agree with that, Prank, because I was playing on my Xbox One X when Cyberpunk 2077 came out. I didn't have it for my PC. My PC couldn't handle it at the time. But I couldn't even play the game. Like, there were so many bugs. And it was a game that I was, like, on the fence on. Like, I kind of liked it. I kind of didn't like it. But because it didn't function well, I never went back and finished it. So, you know, kind of sucky from that. Let's see what else is going on down here, chat. The problem is fans want games now, done or not, and then they're okay with day one patches. I think that's true as well. I mean, here's a question for us all to think about. Are we entitled as gamers? I mean, Prime said it in chat. Entitlement is real in many people. Are we entitled as gamers where we're asking for too much? I don't know. I kind of sit on the fence on that. Part of me feels like in this day and age of gaming, you have so much technology. You have way more resources pushed into development than you used to in the past. You have the ability to update things. So I think because you have the ability to update things and things weren't like they used to be, where if you ship that cartridge on that N64 or you ship that cartridge on the NES, that's done. That's just the way the game's going to be. I think maybe people are more accepting of errors because of that. You know, maybe they're accepting because of that. And what that means for us as gamers is that even though, yeah, we're still paying $60 for a game and people can make an argument that, you know, we should be paying more than $60 a game, we're still getting inferior products. While the fidelity is higher and things like that, in some cases, we're just getting an inferior product. Not all the time. Like, there's games out there that are just chef's kiss, man. They're just, oh, so good. So good. But it makes you think, are we as gamers, are we entitled? I don't know. It just kind of makes me think. Nadine says, everyone wants a live service route game. That's another great point to talk about with the state of gaming. I feel like, man, this is the marketing side of Mule in my head right now, just going off like, meh, 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 you know. I feel like a lot of times, and I've had this conversation with a few other people that have been around gaming, things like that. Studios are just really bad at marketing. There's very few that are really good at marketing. And I think some of them don't understand so let me back up. Marketing. The thing that's good, that people who do good marketing, is because they understand the customer or the people, right? That's what makes good marketing. When someone understands their target audience and their customer. And I think all these studios, right, that make these games that want to do a live service game. So let's just take something that's near and dear to my heart that I loved, Anthem, right? That's an easy game to pick, right? Because it failed. We kind of know what happened with it already. Anthem was a great game. It didn't get near enough time in development, but it was a great game that had good bones. And then what happened? Much like Halo Infinite, it was killed by the gamers. It was killed by the streaming industry because they couldn't make enough updates quick enough. Like, if you're going to do a live service game, I've been saying this for like a year now, that I want to like tell studios, look, if you plan on making a live service game, you need a roadmap for at least a year of content first. Like, you really need that roadmap of a year's worth of content before you even launch the game. If you don't have it, if you don't have some of the assets in place, or at least the bones of that, don't launch the game. Because here's what's going to happen. Here's what happens now in the gaming sphere. Because of stream culture, because of gaming becoming more than a hobby for some people, people will go out and get a game and finish it in 2 days or a day. Like, they'll just consume so much content and then literally have videos out like so fast that you could just barely pick up the game and there's already like 15 videos on how-to guides to do like in-game content in a game, right? So what developers have to understand is that is their target audience. Their target audience is people who are playing as a hobby and people who are playing professionally. And they're wanting to make content to make a living off of that. So in order to do that, you have to have a very strong cadence of content already lined up, already in the pipeline being worked on, so that people aren't left just waiting. And people aren't left with, well, we promised this, but you didn't get that. And so that's, for example, that's what's happened with Halo. I feel like they have content, but it's just such a slow trickle that it can't hold people's attention. It doesn't hold anybody's attention. And Paul Diddy in chat said Anthem had a lot of potential. Yeah. Avengers, Nate says Avengers suffered from being a good game, but being pushed by White Collar to add live service. What a difference from the campaign to multiplayer. I would agree with that. The campaign for Avengers was really good, guys. Like, I really had a lot of fun with that. And then you see how they kind of just shoved the live service aspects of it, like the little things that you can do in multiplayer, and how it just became so repetitive that people just started tuning out, man. People just like they were tired of playing the same thing. And the, like, that's the thing with the state of gaming right now, is there's so much competition out there. So much competition out there now that if you don't make a game, or if you don't have a roadmap, or if you don't have an idea of where you're going for your game, people will play it, but then they'll move on to the next bright and shiny thing. And you know why I know that? Because this guy right here has two thumbs and is pointing at myself. This is me. This is me, right? I am a hobbyist, slightly more than a hobbyist, video gamer. And I say something bright and shiny, I'm like, dude, I want to play it. Let's go. That looks like right up my alley. I play it. It starts to get stale. And then three or four more bright shinies come out. I stop playing it and I completely forget about it. And then when I want to go back to it, I feel lost. I feel lost, or I feel overwhelmed. So I think live service in a way is good. But I think it has to be done in a really good way. And I think there's only really maybe a few developers that have done it really well. And that's probably Epic Games with Fortnite. Like, Fortnite is probably one of the best live service games that we've ever had. Just the way, once they figured out, hey, this is a BR, and started making content and skins and seasons, like, people love that, man. They eat that game up. And you have people like Ninja that basically made his name on that game. And you know, live service is also bad because you have people that say, well, let's just try to stuff this in our game so that our game can stay relevant and we can make more money over long term, you know, get longer returns over a longer amount of time. Well, we can see it actually hurts gaming, you know. It's in some ways it helps, some ways it doesn't. Servant says, live service games are a barrier of entry to me. I'm so far behind in Destiny 2 and other games, I don't even want to try it out. We need some fun games that are 10 to 20 hours long. For me, Nate says, for me, Halo, beside just content, it's a customization. Everyone and everything kind of looks the same. Yep, that I would agree with that. No build kept that game alive. Paul Diddy on Fortnite. Like, this is the thing with gaming, is or anything really in business, period. If you don't adapt, right, you won't survive. Because there's two things that every consumer looks for. Are you solving a problem for me, or are you bringing me something that I want? That's really it. Like, when you play a game, think about it. When you sit down to play a game, what is it you were looking for? Now, it may be a little bit different for everybody because it's kind of a subjective type topic concept. But for me, the chief end is, did I have fun? And if I had a lot of fun, then I'm probably going to keep playing that game. And it's funny because some games are made, they're just not great. But when you play them with friends, it is really, really fun. Like really, really, really fun, man. Like Halo, for example. If I play that solo, dude, I'm wanting to like throw my controller across the room. But if I'm playing with some friends, it's a lot more fun. It is a lot more fun. It needed a player base injected, and that did it. Oh, for the no build? Yes. Like 100%, man. 100%. Nate says, the gaming industry has changed so much, we cannot chase trends. Gaming takes way too long to make, and by the time your game comes out, it's old news or weak already. Yeah, that's what happened on the BR scene, I think. I think that's literally everyone tried to be a BR. But there was only like really like three or four games that were really good at BRs. So yeah, it's interesting, man. But I if you're listening to this audio or you're watching this later on YouTube, chime in on the comments. Just let me know what you think about the state of gaming. Just kind of just lay it on me. This is, like I said, a fireside chat. So I want to kind of push into the next thing because I didn't want to make this first episode very long. And that's the state of Star Wars. The state of Star Wars and where it's heading. As you guys know, I mean, you can see in my background, if you're watching this live, all my Star Wars stuff that I have back here. I mean, even our logo right here is Mule in a Mandalorian helmet. I love Star Wars. Love, love, love Star Wars. For me, and I'm going to preface this for me, because there's some people that love the sequels. Sequels weren't my thing, man. There were some moments in them that I liked. There was some hope that I had in the first one. The first one I thought was a good intro to kind of welcome us back into Star Wars. What was it? Force Awakens. And I was like, okay, this could be good. This could be good. We got the sequels and I was just kind of like, man, so much missed opportunity. Story was kind of all over the place. I didn't even know what to think of it. You know, honestly, there were some moments that were really heart wrenching and great. There were some moments that I was just like, God, man, I wish this was better. I wish this was better. And then this little show called The Mandalorian came along that opened up things like, you know, live action basically that came in from stories like Clone Wars and Rebels and things like that, that we have in animation. And immediately I am hooked. Give me that IV. I freaking, Star Wars is back, baby. Yeah, Star Wars is back. Like, that's what I was thinking when The Mandalorian season one came out. And I was pumped. And I think part of it was that with The Mandalorian, it gave me that old school Star Wars New Hope. Back in the day, it used to just be called Star Wars, by the way. It wasn't Star Wars New Hope. But it gave me that vibe again of like an old school Western, sci-fi Western, basically. A Western with lasers instead of bullets. And laser swords and people that are mystical using the Force, you know? And it just felt like old school Star Wars. And I will die by this statement that Filoni literally was the Padawan learner to George Lucas. I mean, he sat by his side through all those seasons of Clone Wars, the animated series, literally sat by him. You can go watch behind the scenes stuff of this, but he sat by him, by George Lucas, and like learned from him with his storytelling, his creative process, his thoughts. He literally created Ahsoka sitting beside him. It's like, we're going to do this story. So he creates the character Ahsoka. Like, I feel like Filoni is one of us. Like, he's a Star Wars fan, man. Like, I heard one story from the behind the scenes where he was helping out on the Rogue One set. And you know, the end with the Darth Vader scene, he's like, yeah, that was a really cool scene, but you got his suit wrong. Like, his lights and his buttons are wrong. So it's like, he's one of us, man. He's like a casual, but he's also like a fanatic, like with things with Star Wars. And I love that. And so, you basically have him that's become, he's become a Padawan and then a Jedi Knight, and now he's like the Jedi Master between him and Jon Favreau, right? Like they, Jon Favreau is great. He's a really great storyteller. If you haven't watched some of his other films that he's wrote, just do yourself a favor and go watch them. They're so good. But I feel like, as Prime said in chat, Thaddeus Prime, he said he was and has, and he revived Star Wars. Yes, that is definitely the case, where I feel like Filoni and Favreau have restored my hope in Star Wars. And what I'm beginning to see, the arc that I'm beginning to see, is here's what I kind of think they're going to do with the state of Star Wars. I really think everything now with Star Wars is going to be focusing on things that happen outside of the normal realm of the sequels. Like, we know the sequels are there. There's acknowledging in them a lot of the story, especially in this last episode of Mando. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. I haven't seen it, but there's a lot that I'm going to make a YouTube video on it, so you can watch it later on my review on it, and I'll tie all that in for you. But there's a lot that they showed in this last episode of The Mandalorian, you know, when they're on Coruscant, of what, where, like how the stormtroopers, the way they were with the First Order and things like that. There's a lot that they're tying in, but I think where they're going is they're like, here's the sequels. Here's the, all the stuff that's happened in The Mandalorian. And we're just going to go over here, like right over here, not even in that little area in that universe. So all that stuff can still happen and be canon and be lore and all that stuff. But we're going to go over here and we're going to go to like the unknown region of space. We're going to focus on the Mandalorians rebuilding their empire. We're going to focus on Ahsoka and Thrawn and finding Ezra and a new Jedi Order being established and things like that. Just, I really feel like this is where we're going. Like, the new baddie is not going to be the Emperor. Like, the new baddie is going to be Thrawn, and I think the fans will love it. Because the Thrawn, I mean, I haven't read the Thrawn books. I've read segments and things like that. But the Thrawn books are, like, from what I understand, are just amazing. And the segments that I've read, it's just amazing. The things that I've seen in Rebels, I absolutely love Thrawn as a big baddie. Because he's almost not like a baddie, but he is a baddie. So it's almost like Thanos, right? Where you can kind of see the logic in Thanos, but you're also like, yeah, but you're still crazy, you know? But it's that's where I think that we're going, is that it's really going to kind of go around the sequels. Because what I feel like Filoni and Favreau are really doing is they're healing the Star Wars fan base, in the sense of that you have hardcore people that love the sequels. Then you have people that just like hate them. And then you have people that are just kind of in the middle and kind of indifferent, like me, like, eh, it's not great Star Wars, but it's Star Wars. It's there, you know? And I think what they're doing is they're finding a way to kind of get around that and bring us all onto the hype train that is Thrawn and the Mandalorian culture. Cause the Mandalorian culture is just really interesting, especially when you start getting to the warrior culture, what they did. If you go back in the Old Republic, the things that are still legends, like it could be amazing. So I really, really think that Favreau and Filoni are giving us a sneak peek at the future of Star Wars. And that's kind of where we're headed. I've seen a few interviews where they talked about, you know, having Rey come back and things like that. I don't think they will do that. And I think it's because it's too divisive. Like, I think what some, you know, cause like, I like how Favreau recently said it in an interview. It's like, you're making these movies now because some people this is like their first introduction to Star Wars. And some people, I mean, they grew up with Star Wars. And so they have to make a movie that's good for both of those types of people. And like a great example of that is like my youngest son, who's, you know, almost 4 years old, like his Star Wars is Clone Wars, Rebels, and Mandalorian. That's his Star Wars. Like, those are the things that he's watched. He's barely seen the OG trilogy or even the prequels or sequels. And so, like, that's his Star Wars. Like, he knows who Grogu is, Mando, Boba Fett. Like, those are his guys, right? For us growing up, they're OGs like myself, Obi-Wan, Luke, and Darth Vader, you know? And I think that they kind of recognize that, and that's kind of where we're going. A servant says, we need the Skywalkers to go away from Star Wars to live on. I think they can be there, but they don't need to be the main central focus. You know what I mean? Like, I think for all of us OGs, we really were hoping for more out of Luke and getting to see these movies, and we didn't get to really see that. I mean, projecting himself across the galaxy was pretty awesome. That was a pretty BA moment, right? But it wasn't like kind of what most of us were wanting to see. We were wanting to see like something a little bigger than that, other than, you know, just tricking his nephew. But yeah, it's really interesting. I think Bo-Katan, Mando, Ahsoka, Sabine, Ezra, Thrawn, I think that is the future of Star Wars. I think they're leaving Luke Skywalker behind. They're leaving Obi-Wan Kenobi behind and Anakin and all these things. They'll still be there. They'll still be an influence. But I think this is where we're going, which I'm fine with. Like, I kind of like the Western feel and just having Jedi kind of pop up here and there. Like, don't make them the central theme. If you want to have something that's Jedi-centric, then please, please go back to the Old Republic and make some of this canon. Like, Exar Kun and like, or Exar Kun, however you want to say it, that story of him is awesome. Like, the legend story of him and how just everything he did, right? That, or even Revan, like, show us Revan. So if you're building up this Mandalorian stuff, dude, give us some flashbacks of the Mandalorian Civil War, like some of that stuff where the Jedi and the Mandalorians fought each other and the Sith were grouped up with them, or Bane. Give us Darth Bane. Like, these are the things that if you want to involve lightsabers and you want to involve force powers and lore, give us that, because the Old Republic was freaking phenomenal. Like, some of the force powers and the abilities that people had was just nuts. Like, draining the life from a planet, like, that, it's just things like that is just like crazy. So if you want to give us lightsabers, my you know, wish would be to go back to the Old Republic. But yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking with Star Wars and kind of was going. And I've loved seeing you guys' comments in the chat too, man. But yeah, Thaddeus says, I'm excited for Ezra and Thrawn to take the spotlight. Yes, I think we all can concur with that. They're watching. The world is in need of some more great storytellers. Yes, this is Paul Diddy. This is exactly it. It's just exactly it, man. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about on this first episode. Hopefully it's kind of getting, you guys are kind of starting to get the vibe of what these podcasts are going to kind of be like. I want to try to keep them, you know, around an hour or so, round in there. I think when we get Thaddeus Prime back on the podcast, we may be longer, because, man, we get to talking and we just start, you know, shooting the bull and talking a while. That's a mulism right there. You're shooting the bull over there. But I think when we get Prime back on that, it'll be a little bit longer than usual on some of these. But that's kind of what I wanted to talk about with the state of gaming, the state of Star Wars, and kind of get the podcast rolling again. For you guys that are listening to us on audio or watching us on YouTube, you can watch us live. We live stream this on twitch.tv/MuleHornGaming. Jump in our Discord. Like I said, I'm not sure the cadence we're going to have for episodes of the podcast quite yet. And then what we do after the podcast ends is we kind of stay and keep streaming and play some video games and just hang out with the community. So that's pretty much what we're going to do at the end of this first episode. But thank you guys so much for watching us. Thank you for just hanging out with us and seeing all the cool stuff that we talked about with the state of gaming and Star Wars. I can't wait to get to do this more often with you guys. I appreciate every single one of you guys. I hope y'all who are listening to us on the audio have a great night. And remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up, baby.